to the 15 to the 10. Murray's going to score. Touchdown.
Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield. Connor to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
Here we go.
One-handed catch and a touchdown.
Oh, baby. How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, Paul Calvisi, and three-time Pro Bowler Kyle VandenBosch.
So good news, gentlemen. The draft speculation is in the rearview mirror. Now, there's different speculation now, Paul, because we are going to speculate on how these 12 new faces fit within the Cardinals, whether that's offense or defense. And I prefer this kind of speculation as opposed to, hey, what are the Cardinals are going to do with that fourth overall pick and their 12 total picks overall?
And you know what? We don't know. And we won't know for a couple of years, right? It's sort of like we went to a party Saturday night. Very nice. And the attire was described as snappy casual. I have no idea to this day what that really means, but I did my best. And that's what you do in the NFL draft. You really don't know. You think you know. You do all the homework. But then the games will tell the real story and see if you had positive return on investment or not.
KVB, how would you define snappy casual?
I don't know. I'm curious, what did Paul wear, snappy casual?
Let's move it along. We got a lot to talk about. That's a segue point, Craig.
12 selections, the most in a single draft since the draft went to a seven-round format in 1994. Yes, the headline is Marvin Harrison Jr., but overall you look, Kyle, at the 12 selections, six on offense, six on defense. Seemed like they went a little bit more heavy in the defensive back category, but what'd you think overall in year two for Monty Austin-Fort?
Man, it just checks so many boxes, and the upside of all these players. I mean, at first glance, there's a lot of question marks, especially at the back end, and then you look closer, and you're like, yep, home run. And again, it's a lot of like what we saw with the free agent class that Monty brought in. It's experience. It is dependability. It is versatility. It is guys that have played multiple positions. It is guys that have, played a lot of games, guys who have played through injuries, guys. And to me, you can see that that's how they're trying to form this roster. Guys that have been captains, guys that are leaders, guys that have been through and have faced a lot of adversity and have shown toughness, guys with high football IQ, guys that, quote unquote, love ball. And that is what I'm excited about. I'm excited about this locker room and the type of players that are walking through this building and are going to be coming into this building and are going to be here for this training camp because, the best, to me, again, and I've talked about this before, the best teams are formed when the best players are the hardest workers. And with this draft, you can look at just our top two picks, right? It's obvious their talent. It stands out on film. You can see what they did in college and how they performed and at times how they dominated. But then you listen to their college coaches and you listen to their college teammates and you can hear how they work and how diligent they are and how they prepare and how almost NFL ready they are just based upon their work ethic. And so, that's what makes me excited. I don't feel like the learning curve is going to be very sharp with a lot of these players in this draft class.
Kyle's point reminds me of what Jonathan Gannon said over the weekend. Do you guys notice a pattern? He was talking to the media, sort of rhetorical question. Do you notice a pattern in the sort of player the Cardinals are targeting? Number one, they're deadly serious about football, all ball. And then number two, I firmly believe that this administration here, these decision makers, believe it's a big man's game. So whether it's Marvin Harrison Jr., whether it's Darius Robinson, Trey Benson, whether it's Isaiah Adams, the interior O-lineman who played a lot of tackle out of position last year, whether it's 6'1" corner Elijah Jones, I mean, go up and down. Xavier Thomas with some incredible athletic gifts. that had him rated higher than Micah Parsons coming out of high school and a freshman All-American. I just think those are two patterns that you do see in these two draft classes under Monty Austin-Ford.
And a smart football class as far as this draft class is concerned. A handful of these players have their master's already. A handful have gone into school for 6 years. A lot of it was because of the COVID year. The only underclassman drafted was Marvin Harrison Jr., fourth overall out of Ohio State. We'll discuss him. But first, let's hear from GM Monty Austin-Ford on his thoughts on first the person and then the player.
I think spending the day with Marvin was great. The combine interviews are quick. It's a quick, just small sample size, but the 30 visit the whole day, you really get to get a good feel for who these guys are as people. And so I would say with Marvin, just maturity, accountability, dependability, you know, I'd say he checks all those boxes. He's been around football his whole life, and I think just really excited about the way he approaches his job.
You look at what Marvin did on the football field, two-time first-team AP All-American, two-time Big Ten Receiver of the Year, the Biletnikoff Award winner, and then, as you heard Monty discuss, he grew up in this game, his father. Marvin Harrison, a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Big shoes to fill here, Kyle, but you get a sense that everything that young Marvin has done has been with an eye towards this moment. Yeah, that Harrison on the back of the jersey means something. It is means a lot, but he wants to forge his own path in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's been apparent. You know, you could hear it from Paris Johnson Jr., the way he has spoken about him and the way he has worked. And you hear about when he came in as a freshman, he didn't come in as, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., a Hall of Famer's son, and expect things to be handed to him. He came in before 6 a.m. workouts, hitting a jugs machine, and treated his college career like a job, like he was already a professional. And it's already paid dividends. And, you know, again, that's what makes me excited. You know, I don't feel if there's one position in the NFL where and it has happened in recent years where oftentimes a rookie can step in and make a huge contribution and make a huge splash, particularly in their rookie years. It is the wide receiver position, particularly if they're immensely talented like Marvin Harrison Jr. is. But the way he is polished and the way he has worked on his craft already and the way he works at his game and prepares his body. And honestly, I'm excited about the way he has approached this whole draft process because – you know, I know it has been criticized by some, the fact or the way he approached the combine. You know, he didn't run at the combine and didn't do some of the things that some of the players typically do. But he's preparing for next season already. He's already a step ahead of a lot of the other players in this draft, a lot of the receivers already, because he's already been preparing for the next season. He wasn't preparing for his 40. He wasn't preparing for his 10. He wasn't preparing for his short shuttle. He's preparing for next season. So I love it. He's a true pro through and through, and I expect him to be ready, you know, once training camp starts, once these mini camps starts, and look polished from the start.
I think Paul, Marvin actually had an offseason compared to a lot of these kids coming out of college where it's right from college and you get to that pre-draft process. I think, to Kyle's point, you're going to see a fresh wide receiver out there this offseason and training camp.
Is the NFL a business, everybody now? Yes. It was a business decision. He was already the top-rated receiver. He was the top-rated non-quarterback on the board. Why risk that status? Why test? Just get ready for the season. And he was right. He was the top non-quarterback drafted. And to go back to that freshman year, think about who he had to practice against. Man, to go all Allen Iverson, right? He's out there with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? And he's competing against those guys. And then when Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave declared for the draft and didn't play in the Rose Bowl, he gets his first career start, 3 touchdown receptions in Pasadena. That's the sort of pedigree you're getting in Marvin Harrison Jr.
Set a Rose Bowl record with those 3 receptions going for touchdowns. Now, priority number 1 for Marvin, yes, learn the playbook, but more importantly, maybe than that, is earning the trust of his quarterback, Kyler Murray.
Absolutely, you got to earn the trust of the quarterback. And I think it starts, you know, every day in practice and being consistent, really. You can't just do it one day. You can't just do it for 1 week. has to be, you know, done over and over and over again. I think that's how trust is earned. So no matter where you get picked, whether you're, you know, first receiver, it's round seven, doesn't really matter. You have to go and earn trust of the quarterback, your coaches, your teammates. So it all starts in practice.
And I liked what Marvin had to say, Paul, at his introductory presser when asked about Kyler Murray. Quote, "It's my job to make his job easier."
And he's going to do just that. He's going to make Trey McBride's job easier. He's going to make Michael Wilson's job easier. To hear Paris Johnson Jr. tell it out on the stage of the draft party when we brought Paris out to welcome his former and now once again teammate. And Marvin Harrison Jr. is up on the Jumbotron. He's most definitely going to make the offensive line's job easier and more enjoyable. How many times Paris Johnson Jr. watched chunk throws down the field while he's locking up his dude? That's the way it works when you have Marvin Harrison Jr. And Trey McBride said more than once, yeah, he could take the double coverage. Take it away from me. That's fine.
And what I love about that quote is probably no position in the league is there more divas across the league than the wide receiver position. And I don't hear me's and I's when he talks. He's talking about, I want to make Kyler Murray's job easier. I want to help him accomplish his goals. It's not me, I don't, it's not about getting 1,000 yards for me. It's not about setting the rookie touchdown record. It's not about any of that. All he talks about is helping Kyler Murray, about helping this team. And what does Jonathan Gannon always talk about? Putting the team before yourself. And that's what you hear from Marvin Harrison Jr.
There might not be a person that was more excited with that selection than Kyler himself. We saw the video posted on social media on Thursday night. And then the following day, Friday, Marvin Harrison, his introductory press conference, making the rounds. Paul and I, you had a chance. We had a chance to have him right here in this radio studio here at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center. And this is what happened in our last question that was asked to Marvin Harrison.
Kyler Murray, man, he was fired up in the video he put on social media. That must have made you feel good.
It makes me feel great to have the support and love of your quarterback already. Obviously, have to go out there and earn his trust now. So now I have to go earn his trust. And
here he is, Kyler Murray. Speaking of the devil. That's good.
Yes, sir.
Kyler, why don't you sit in? I mean, grab a seat.
Yes, sir. I'm ready to go, man. All right, bet.
That's good. Well, the timing on that could have been even better. I mean,
great timing.
Yes, totally unexpected, and I heard voices behind me, and I thought, you know, we're running long, Paul. We're talking too much to Marvin. He's got to go, and all of a sudden the door opens, and boom, here comes your starting quarterback.
You know, these reality TV shows supposed to be spontaneous in the moment, right, when it's really scripted. No, that was in the moment. We didn't see that one coming. He came right through on cue, spoke it into existence. There he was, materialized right in front of our eyes. He had a camera following him. I guess he was doing rounds around the building or whatever, so he was on the move. And besides, we didn't have another microphone available at that very moment. But we'll get him back in and get him to sit down with Marvin Harrison Jr. Just the smile on Kyler's face said it all.
Quarterback needs a top playmaker. Kyler's got a top playmaker.
Absolutely. Yeah, I dare say he came in here to say hi to you two, and it just so happens that Marvin
Absolutely
Harrison
not.
Jr. was in the room. No?
I can assure you that was
that's not what happened?
No.
See, here's the deal. Look, sometimes quality just exceeds quantity. So I know I was entertaining all these thoughts of three first-round picks. Sometimes you just have to stick and pick and take a guy who might change your offense for the next decade.
Monday morning quarterback here on a Tuesday edition of the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Holding myself accountable.
We continue breaking down the 2024 Cardinals draft class. Focus a little bit on that defense when we come back here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Missouri brings pressure and they throw Leary down. Darius Robinson.
Here's Brown. And Brown is sacked. He is taken down by Darius Robinson.
Second and six. Leary taken down. He couldn't pull the trigger, and Darius Robinson comes up with the sack.
This throw is picked off. Malachi Melton. Call me Max. Count it. Touchdown, Scarlet Knights.
And looking towards Breifogel, and that ball inside the 5-yard line is intercepted by Max Melton.
Hartman throwing on third down. It's intercepted. Max Melton with the pick.
So after the Cardinals went offense with that fourth overall pick and selecting Marvin Harrison Jr., the next two selections, 27th overall, Darius Robinson, defensive end out of Missouri. Second round, 43rd overall, Max Melton, cornerback out of Rutgers. GM Monty Austin for going defense with his next two selections, addressing the front seven and then addressing the secondaries. We say welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Greg Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Kyle Vandenbosch as we take these players one at a time. And let's start with the defensive lineman, Kyle. As you look at the numbers, certainly very impressive. 6'5", 285, first team All-SEC, 8.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss. Someone who can play the entire defensive line. In fact, they kicked him outside as a defensive end later on in his career at Missouri. And right now, we're kind of left for up to room to debate as far as where we might see Darius position on the D-line.
Yeah, you can play him anywhere. He has played anywhere. He's a physical freak. He has, such a long wingspan, long arms, huge hands. He looks like he's your prototype, like five technique, four eye, strong, violent with his hands. He operates really well in tight spaces. Like he's really good hand to hand combat. He likes to use inside leverage, likes to power rush. He is powerful. He is violent, plays with a good motor, consistent effort. I think you can use him anywhere from outside eye of one tackle to all the way outside eye of the other tackle and move him around to take advantage of matchups. To a large degree, a lot like you use J.J. Watt. And, just use his quickness, use his length. And he can, be your inside pass rusher, and also come off the edge at times. I don't necessarily know if, I didn't see him, rushing, in space a lot, coming off the edge a lot. But I do think that he can take advantage because he is so strong, so powerful, and so violent, that he will be able to win one-on-one matchups inside.
I mean, think about it. They kicked him outside for his final year at Missouri, and he was first team All-SEC. I put a lot of credence into that honor. And it was interesting when we had a chance to talk to him in studio, and we asked him, there's always something in everyone's scouting report that they take issue with, right? That might end up being a chip on the old shoulder pad. I said, what didn't you like about your scouting report? Almost everybody has something. And he said, you know what I didn't like? I didn't like the fact that everybody thought I had this unbelievable week at the Senior Bowl. No, that was me every week. Like, I just all of a sudden turned it on come the Senior Bowl. So I like that. I like the fact that maybe he was a little unknown, a little underrated, in Missouri, at least in terms of the national media and some of the spotlight. But the SEC coaches knew what they were looking at. Hence, once again, his position on the first team All-League.
It is a nice addition for head coach Jonathan Gannon. Here's JG's thoughts on what he is getting out of Darius Robinson.
Violent, violent, violent. Really good in the run and pass game, and can win in multiple spots in both the run and the pass game.
Not just once did JG mention the word violent. Kyle, he's mentioned it three different times with a nice pause in between. And you talk to Darius the person, couldn't be nicer of an individual. But as we see a lot, you step in between those white lines and then you change. You become something different. And a lot of teams saw something different in Darius Robinson a year ago.
Yes, violent. And again, a student of the game. I mean, I think we've all by at this point heard about his preparation and how he studies and what his week looks like. And, he's NFL ready from that standpoint. I think that is, to me, the biggest adjustment, particularly for a defensive lineman, is learning how to study offenses and figuring out what their plan is for the week and, figuring out how am I going to approach the run game? How am I going to stop the run? How am I going to – what's my pass rush plan this week? What am I looking at? And he's already figured out a lot of those things. And that's going to serve him well. He's going to come in with a lot of that knowledge already. He's already has a plan about how to prepare himself mentally for a game week, how to prepare his body for a game week. So, I think he's going to be a pretty immediate presence on this defensive line and be a big factor for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, to Kyle's point, when he described his typical week and everything that went into it and all the film study and everything else he did to get ready beyond just being physically ready, that was beyond impressive for a college guy. And he used the words obsessed with football more than once. And by the time you're done listening to him, you realize, yeah, he's not kidding. That's not just rhetoric, something for an NFL interview. So this guy looks NFL ready from that standpoint. And then you take his physical skills, right, and you combine it with that preparation mentally. And so I'm curious to see what sort of instant impact he might be able to have.
Well, let's hear from the Cardinals' new defensive end, Darius Robinson. He spent 5 years at Missouri. The lessons he learned at school.
At Missouri, you know, we had some tough seasons, but we were really built with an edge, energy, details, grit, and emotional consistency. And I just find myself just trying to grow and get better each year. And also as a team, you know, win more games each year. And that was my home. That was my family. I was blessed to, you know, get 2 degrees as well off the field. And I just love Mizzou.
2 degrees. Wow.
Yeah, I had the same reaction as Marvin Harrison Jr. did during that introductory press conference on Friday. 2 degrees. Yeah, I got 1 degree.
Look, I never played college football, but I know it's a full-time job. Kyle, you can weigh in. You got to be pretty dang disciplined to be a full-time SEC starting defensive lineman and pull off 2 degrees, even over a five-year span. That's pretty dang impressive.
Really impressive. And also what is impressive about this young man, look, you know, what are we seeing now in college football? A lot of these players are looking for handouts. How much can I get from NIL? How much money can I get in my pocket? I'm going to go to another school because they're going to offer me more money. What did this young man do with his NIL? He started a foundation. He's looking at how can I give back to the community? How can I help kids? Can I give backpacks? How can I help them, you know, with resources and supplies for school? And he's already looking at how he can help this community. How can he help the Phoenix community when he gets here? And, you know, he's going to be great for this community. And again, I can't stress enough, players like this, they are force multipliers. We will see his impact on the field, but his impact in the locker room. When you bring in a young man who quotes from his teammates that say he is the best leader I've ever been around, when they say, as he went, we went, that will bring everybody in the locker room. It will raise the level of play of everybody. And again, when at some point he will be one of the better players on the defensive side of the ball, maybe early, maybe a couple years down the road, but when your best players are your hardest workers, that will show the younger players next year's draft class and the draft class after that what it takes to be a true pro, because he already understands what it takes to be a pro, and they will follow in his footsteps, and they will learn themselves what it takes to be an NFL professional.
So the selection of Darius Robinson ended night one. Day two began with the Cardinals trading out of the 35th overall selection, traded with the Falcons, moved down to the 43rd spot, plus picked up another third-round selection, and with that 43rd overall pick, Cardinals added themselves a cornerback. Max Melton out of Rutgers, 5'11", 187, ran the sixth fastest 40 among cornerbacks at the scouting combine. Here is Max Melton immediately after his name was called on a conference call with reporters.
I'm a lockdown corner. I can lock down anybody. I ran 4.39. I can jump out the gym. I can jump far. And I'm a real athlete. So, you know, I can play inside, outside, versatility. I'm on special teams. I'm a willing special teams player. I don't just go out there and just play special teams just to play it. I can't wait to help my team win in any type of form or fashion.
You love the confidence, and you got to love this. Nick Saban on ESPN during the draft coverage, quote, "This is my sleeper corner in the whole draft."
Wow.
End quote. So I would think Nick Saban knows what he's talking about when he's talking about a defensive player.
I did not hear that. Yeah, that's high praise. That definitely gets your attention. Well, look, he has the speed and he has the confidence, two things that you must have to play the position well in the NFL, because you will be beat at some point. But he's described as having a frenetic playing style. And he's hard-nosed, played at Rutgers, grew up in Jersey, right? So, boom, had 3 block kicks in 2022. So he's willing to lay it all on the line. Sounds like a Jonathan Gannon-type corner. That's a position he knows probably better than any. He coached it for so long as a position coach. Although, when the Cardinals traded down, there was a moment of apprehension. You know, at number 40 went Cooper DeJean. At number 41 went Kool-Aid McKinstry, right? At number 42, Kamari Lassiter. And you're like, oh, boy. And then the Cardinals ended up with Max Melton. And to hear Monty Osifor tell it, when they make those trades, they're sure to do the math. Okay, are there enough players between now and when we would pick with this pick we just traded for, that we still like enough players that it's worth at that position? on the board, and the answer was yes, and boom, the pick was Max Melton.
40 starts over four seasons, can play outside, can play nickel, and already with a history with Marvin Harrison Jr., they matched up a couple of different times in college, and to hear Max Melton talk about it, held his own against MHJ. What do you like about Max Melton, the Cardinals? We hope immediate corner, whether that's a starter or certainly part of the rotation this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's versatile, like Paulie said. He's very sticky in coverage. I love his experience, 40 starts in 4 years. And he's got great ball skills. I mean, he's got multiple interceptions in each of his last 3 years, and that's a big deal. When you – as a corner, it's not just about, covering the guy. It's can you get the ball? As Jonathan Gannon says, the ball is the game. And if we can get those turnovers on those 50-50 balls at times, and honestly, with all of the corners, I mean, that's a common theme is they all have great ball skills. But Max Melton especially – he has shown that ability in the college game. When the ball's in the air, he has the ability to go up and get it.
Here's the other thing. He had the third highest athleticism score among all cornerbacks in the class. That's a next-gen stat. I'm not exactly sure what goes into that, but I think it denotes, man, there's upside there. And then it also makes me wonder, and we'll get into this, with some of the other Cardinals draft picks, could Garrett Williams come out of the slot, come out of nickel, and maybe be a possibility outside? Because you do have the versatility in a number of these DBs and corners that you drafted in this class. And I'm curious, I know I've written down Garrett Williams as a starting nickel corner, but who knows? The only real known, I think, is Sean Murphy Bunting is one of your starting corners. After that, it's going to be really competitive.
Well, JG has always said that he views a slot corner as a starter. So you're going to see Garrett Williams on the field. It's just a matter of where on the football field. And going back to the ability to take the football away, Cardinals only had 11 interceptions last season. And that was a theme that we can discuss here as we continue on the Cardinals Red Sea Report with some of those other selections in the secondary, whether it was a couple of extra cornerbacks or a safety, the ability to take the football away and give it back into the hands of Kyler Murray and company. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Kyle VandenBosch. We do it each and every Tuesday, 11 a.m. year-round. And Bird Gang, you want to learn about the Arizona Cardinals season tickets, premium seating, group tickets, and the all-new luxury field seating experiences today? Go to azcardinals.com/tickets. That's azcardinals.com/tickets. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Trey Benson off to the races. One guy to beat, high stepping. He got smoke for the Hokies. Touchdown, 85 yards. Benson goes north-south. Benson.
Benson, first down, still running. Trey Benson, all the way to the end zone. Hat trick touchdown for Benson.
Empty set for Bartolo on third down and 10, and he gets dumped. Xavier Thomas, the first Tiger in there. Ball's on the ground, and it's scooped up at the 25-yard line by Xavier Thomas inside the 10, and Thomas out of bounds inside the 5-yard line.
Two new additions to the Arizona Cardinals. Trey Benson, running back out of Florida State, a third-round selection, 66th overall, two-time leader in rushing yards. In fact, averaged better than 6 yards a carry in his two seasons at Florida State. And then in the fifth round, Cardinals addressed outside linebacker, the edge rusher position, Xavier Thomas, 138th overall out of Clemson, 3-year starter, 17 and a half career sacks. Welcome to the AZ. As we say, welcome back. It is the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Craig Riolu, Paul Calvisi, and Kyle VandenBosch taking a look at the other names. Again, there were a lot. There were 12 players selected by GM Monty Austinfort. We've touched on three of the 12. Anyone else out there, Kyle, as you look, whether it was an offensive player, a defensive player, that, you know what, I like, one, the position, I like the player and the fit within the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot. I'll start with Trey Benson, right? Here's one of the things I love. You talked about 6.1 average. He had 10 touchdowns that went for 30-plus yards. He is the home run hitter. And what did we see with this offense last year in 23 with the Arizona Cardinals? They led the NFL in 20-plus rush 20-plus yard rushes, right? They were second in the NFL in 40-plus yard rushes. So the Arizona Cardinals already had those explosive runs last year. Now you add this explosive running back to this offense. I'm going to steal from Paulie here. You want to talk about a holy cannoli stat. In one game in high school, Trey Benson rushed for 392 yards. He had seven touchdowns. He also had an interception return for a touchdown and a two-point conversion. So by himself, he accounted for 50 points in one game in high school.
That's a triple ding right there. That's what that is on Trey Benson. Yeah, he had like the highest athleticism score of any running back. So, and he has the size. I'm really curious what sort of weight he can handle. I guess at the combine he was 216. At his pro day he was 221. Where do they want him in terms of weight? But you talk about cram it vertical. There's nothing like a rookie with fresh legs and size to spell James Conner. And you're running it between the tackles with impunity. We saw enough of that last year. So, absolutely, definitely looking forward to Trey Benson.
The third fastest running back at the scouting combine, a 4.39 40. So, yeah, he makes a couple of guys miss at the line of scrimmage. He gone. Now, the question is, might we see one of his new teammates blocking for him, opening up some holes? A tight end selected 82nd overall, one of those four third-round draft picks. Tip Ryman, tight end out of Illinois, 6'5", 271. Paulie, his stats are not going to wow you at all, but you've got to be wowed by what he is able to do as far as blocking guys, or as he likes to say, mauling somebody, moving a person against their will from one position to another.
Just the fact he went from walk-on to team captain, just the fact that at his size, he's still able to have this top athleticism score among all tight ends, higher than Brock Bowers. What? At 6'5", 271, to have that physical mentality to get out there and to hear the scouts talk about his blocking film and the nastiness at the point of attack. I mean, if you gave me one guy that I'm most intrigued to see in person, it'd be this guy. Honestly, it kind of reminds me of a Gronk-type scouting report. He has the size, he has the blocking ability, but he has the ball skills. He's going to keep a defense honest. And, I mean, you go out there, and now all the different possibilities in your personnel groups, because we saw Drew Petzing last year go empty with four receivers. You saw him go with three tight ends at times. You run this guy out there, again, a big man's game, and you're going to inflict your will along with some of these offensive linemen and big running backs like Trey Benson, as we mentioned, and James Conner. I tell you, this is going to redefine cram it vertical at times this year.
Kyle, I want to get your thoughts, but first let's hear from the Cardinals' new tight end, Tip Ryman, on being a blocking tight end.
Mauling somebody. I like putting my hands on somebody and doing what I want and just move them exactly where I want it and against their will. It's fun. I feel like it's a gift the Lord gave me, and I'm honoring him in doing that.
No question, Kyle. The quotes of the 3 days of the 2024 NFL draft, at least among the Cardinals' 12 selections, but you hear that from someone who comes in at 6'5", 271, and the ability to open up holes, whether that's for a James Conner or a Michael Carter or Trey Benson. First instincts is to block, and then, okay, if you need me, yeah, I need to work on my pass-catching ability, but I can do that as well.
Yeah, what you love is whatever role you give him, he's going to embrace it. I mean, he also played 555 special team snaps in college, so the kid will do whatever you ask of him, and he's going to do it as absolutely as hard as he can. And from what you hear from scouts, and particularly at the Senior Bowl, he is a good route runner. He can catch the ball. He only had 59 targets in college, but he had zero drops. And of his 14 of his 19 catches in college were either for a first down or for a touchdown. So he is dependable. If you do throw him the ball, he is going to catch it. But this kid is a whole nother level of toughness. I mean, thank goodness me and this kid were not in the same draft class, or we would have absolutely hated each other, because he is all about blocking and finishing. And I hated these types of tight ends, but I would have loved to have him on my team. And this guy will make the Arizona Cardinals better. He is going to improve the run game. He is going to make defensive ends on other teams quit. They will absolutely tuck their tail and quit in the fourth quarter going against this guy.
What would be the over-under on training camp fights if you were in this draft class with Tip Ryman? Three?
In the first practice?
Here's the other thing. The director of operations and player personnel at the Shrine Bowl said he's one of the most underrated players in the draft, among the top athletes at tight end ever, complete an NFL-ready blocker, displayed range as a receiver, still ascending tight end. So when I say he's the most intriguing guy in this draft class, that to me is Tip Brimen. Like, what is under the hood that we didn't get to see? Because I have these visions of him catching chunk throws and looking for a safety to just demolish.
Not only a physical presence on the field, off the field, three-time academic All-Big Ten honoree. So the Cardinals adding more than just talents amongst these players. They're adding quality people as well.
I'm just going to have to dust off the word jack stomp when it comes to Tip Brimen. I'm going to write that down right next to his name.
How do we grade this class? We'll get into that next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Hello?
Is this Jaden?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jaden, this is Monty Osiport calling from the Arizona Cardinals. How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm great. We're about to make you a member of the Cardinals.
Sure.
And hey, this is I know this is a really special moment for you, and this is a really special moment for our team. I don't know if you know the name Pat Tillman. Pat was drafted to this organization 26 years ago, and it was with this very same pick, number 226 in the draft. He was a DB, you're a DB, and we are very, very fortunate that we're going to make you a Cardinal with this pick.
You just heard Monty describe the importance of this pick to us and historically, but I hope you're with your family today and celebrate. 26 years ago, I actually called that pick in, which was a super cool moment for us and for me personally.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great.
You excited?
Yes, sir.
I know, ready to roll.
Yeah, waiting, man. Just waiting on it.
I know. Come in here and go to work.
Yes, sir. I'm ready. All right, buddy.
The last phone call made during the 2024 NFL draft by GM Monty Osiport, it was to select Jaden Davis, the cornerback out of Miami. And as you heard there, Paul, the 226th overall selection. There might not have been a better phone call to make for the Arizona Cardinals as an organization. The spot where 20 years earlier, the Cardinals drafted Pat Tillman back in 1998.
I did not know that team owner Michael Bidwell was the one who called Pat's name into the league to officially make the selection. And I was there in Flagstaff when Pat put on a show, and he came in and there were half thud drills and he went full speed, and he was sort of KVB. He started too many fights to count, and by the time he was done as a seventh rounder, the coaching staff realized we need his mentality, we need his playmaking. He brings a sort of edge to this locker room and to this defense that we can't live without, and the rest is history.
Those phone calls, Kyle, those are special, and we get to hear both sides of that conversation because, as we've talked in the lead up to the draft, those phone calls, they change individual lives, they change family lives, and it gets you in the door. Now you got to make sure you stay in the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can still remember the moment I got my phone call. I mean, it is a special moment in a player's life. It's a special feeling when you're sitting there with the people that were with you the whole time, the people that supported you, the people that were in the stands cheering for you, the people that drove you to practice in Little League, and the people that paid for your uniform, the people that paid your league fees, the people that, drove you to surgery when you had injuries, and the people that were there holding your hand through the ups and the downs. And, it's a very, very special moment to get that phone call, to celebrate with your family, to shed a tear, kind of reminisce about all of the hard work and all of the struggles and all of the joys and the ups and the downs that got you to that spot. But it's also a beginning. From that phone call, you really just cannot wait to get to where you're going. I mean, I remember, for me, it was, how soon can I get to Arizona? I just wanted to get here and meet my new teammates, get in the building, get started, and start my new career. And, you can hear both the relief, the excitement, the joy, and the anticipation in these athletes on these phone calls. And, it's such a blessing and such a gift. I'm sure, that Monty Osiport and Jonathan Gannon and and Michael Bidwell, they don't take that moment lightly when they make those phone calls, because those young men, they've worked their whole lives to get that phone call, and it's very special.
A 12-player draft class here in 2024, and off the top here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, I mentioned that no more draft speculation now. It's a different kind of speculation. How do these players fit within the offense and within the defense? And a lot more speculation on Monday morning as we all woke up to draft day grades. And for the most part, again, it's all a projection, but for the most part, the Cardinals did very well. A lot of A's, some B pluses. One of the A's given, how about CBS Sports' Pete Briscoe on the Cardinals 12-player draft class?
Watch out for the Cardinals. And I say that seriously. And people are going to laugh at me. And we watched them all last year, Brady. And every single week, what do we say? Man, they play hard. They play tough. They're a pain for everybody they play. Jonathan Gannon did a great job with that team last year. They play tough and physical. Now they have more talent. I love this draft. You look at up and down, good football players, for a lot of productive football players from good programs. I love what the Cardinals did. And watch out for Arizona. They could be a playoff team in 2024.
And if last season was any indication, Paul, about rookies being able to contribute right away, I would expect, I don't know about all 12, but there are certainly going to be a handful, maybe more than a handful of these players that we've been discussing that show up on Sunday, and not just as role players, but significant contributors.
Yeah, the Cardinals just became the first NFL team to have 7 picks in the top 90 since Dallas in 91. So it's historic, this class, in terms of the numbers. And then if you can get the quality along with the quantity, and you're going to hit the big red reset button in an extra large way. There's no question about it. Pete Prisco, not usually prone to hyperbole or too much praise. So you know what? Yes, that's meaningful when he takes a look at this draft. And I'm guessing every one of these guys, just like last year, every one of these guys will be given a fair chance to compete and end up on this roster one way or another, because by the end of September last year, we came up with a hashtag, let the rooks cook. They were a huge part of last year's team.
We all have our own opinions on this draft class. Well, Monty Austin Ford on Saturday after day 3 was asked kind of a big picture to evaluate the draft class.
Can we talk again in 2 years? It's crazy to say, but when our scouts grade, we always grade, what's this player going to be in by year 2? From college to the NFL, that first year, that's a huge jump for these guys. It's a mental change. It's a physical change. They got to learn how we do things. They got to learn our scheme. And it's a lot.
That might be the most honest answer Monty has ever given in a press setting, because, yeah, everyone likes their draft class, but you also have to be realistic as well, KVB, because, again, there is going to be an adjustment for all of these players.
Absolutely. There is a huge adjustment, you know, but again, you know, one of the things I think that lends well to this class overall is it's an older class. It's, you know, a lot of these guys have been in college 4, 5, 6 years. Some of them, they are more mature. They've got a lot of experience. A lot of them have a lot of starts under their belt. And just their character. Again, I think Monty, their entire scouting department did a good job of not just breaking down film, not just looking at stats, not just looking at numbers and talent, but they draft the total person, and they find the person that fits the mold, that fits the character, that's going to fit this organization and this locker room. And I think that that's going to lend well to them making contributions early. Maybe not game 1, maybe not game 4, but at some point in this season. And, you know, Jonathan Gannon has said this before, if you have a helmet on game day, that you're going to have a role. So you can, you know, be sure that a lot of these rookies, they're going to make a contribution at some point in this season, and they're going to need to be called upon, because we've seen, the NFL is a rough sport, and with 17 games, 2 years ago it was offensive line, last year it was defensive line. We don't know which position or if it will be a position this year, but there may be a rash of injuries. So some of these young guys will be called upon in key roles and possibly starting positions this year.
Next time I want to ask KVB what this does to unlock all the edge rushers. As a guy who went to the Pro Bowl 3 times as his own edge rusher, think about this offseason. Justin Jones, Bilal Nichols, LJ Collier are back healthy. You had a Darius Robinson, a first-round pick. Remember, you have a first-round edge rusher in Zaven Collins, a second-round edge rusher in B.J. Ojulari, He added Mac Wilson, Xavier Thomas in round five. I'm really curious what that interior D-line now maybe does for the edge guys and how much better the Cardinals are equipped to get after the quarterback.
It's a great tease ahead, Paul. A true professional right here. KVB, the next time we have you in, that should be topic number one. Yeah. What now happens with this edge class or the edge rusher position? Special thanks behind the scenes, Jim Almahundro, Cody Fincher, Matt Lazarus. For Paul Calvisi, Kyle Vandenbosch, I'm Craig Riolu. This is the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
It is caught by McBride, and it's a touchdown. Buda Baker with the sack, stripped the ball. Murray's going to score, touchdown.
Oh, baby.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! Cardinals win!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.